So I've been talking about things like the simplicity of salvation, and in some respects, even the ease of salvation. But Timothy was very right when he mentioned last week's Sunday night how salvation is simple, but not easy. And that brings me to the title of my sermon this morning, The Price of Free Salvation. And to some that may sound like an oxymoron, but by the time I'm done this morning, it won't. Because there are lots of things in life that are free and still have a cost. Salvation being the apex of all of them. So with that, let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we again just thank you for this time we can be here, and I pray that you would give me a clear mind, that I can express these thoughts clearly and in such a way as to edify all of us. Amen. So I got 3 points that I'm going to cover. I'm going to start very briefly on salvation is free. And I'm going to keep this brief because that's what I've been talking about lately. And also because it's the strong point in Christianity today. It still needs to be taught, but it is the strong point. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the cost of salvation. I will spend a little more time on that. And thirdly, I'm going to try to spend the most of my time, or a good share of the time anyway, on how these both can be. How they work simultaneously together. How salvation can be free, and how it can have a cost. And why those two do not conflict. So let's start in Revelation 22, verse 17. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it has an absolute depth. Sometime maybe I'll have a whole sermon just on this verse. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I need to go no further. This is the only verse I need to quote to show you that salvation is free. But there's plenty more of them, and I'm going to go to a couple more. Salvation is free. But what I like about this, and I'm going to touch on it briefly, even though it's not my message, the Spirit and the Bride. We are the Bride of Christ. God and the Church say, Come. Sometimes I wonder if this is even true. But that's what the Bible says. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. You know, there was once, when the British Empire abolished the slave trade, a ship was once traveling to one of the places that was owned by the British Empire with the news that the slaves were free. And the people knew that this ship was going to be coming with the news, but they didn't know which way the news was going to be. So the shores were lined with people waiting for the ship, and the ship starts approaching the shore, and when it was still way out, the man on the ship hollers, Free! And the people turn and holler, Free! And before the ship could even reach shore, the whole countryside knew they were free. And that's what this is saying. He says, The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth turn and say, Come. So, God and the Church are saying, There's water for the thirsty man. And I should be able to tell the world there's water. And they need to be able to turn around and say to their friends before they're even fully saved, There's water. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever is athirst, let him come. And take the water of life freely. That word is the only word that the only reason I came to this verse today, but I just couldn't resist talking a little bit about it because it's one of my favorite verses. And I'm going to go to Isaiah 55, verse 1. All these verses that I go to are very common verses that everybody knows very well. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, yea, buy and eat.
Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free. You can't buy it because it isn't for sale. It's free. In Ephesians 2:9. Start in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And again, all these verses are self-explanatory. I really don't have to explain them any farther than what they say, because that's what it means. We're not saved by what we do. You can't buy salvation because it isn't for sale. And God doesn't let somebody get saved by being good, because then they'd have something to boast of. And he won't give his glory to any other. It's pretty flat out simple. Salvation is free. It's the only way it can be. Yet, Jesus has some pretty hard sayings. And that's the next thing that I want to look at. Salvation has a cost. And I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And in Luke chapter 14, I'm going to be turning back and forth a little bit, because there's all kinds of these statements. There isn't just one of them. Jesus didn't just have one hard saying. He didn't just have two. They are on almost every page of the Gospels. He's saying something hard. Because the Gospel is simple, but not easy in every way. It's easy in some ways, but not easy in every way. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Forsake your father and mother. This is necessary for salvation? Is this necessary? Jesus says it is. He says very plainly. If you hate not father, mother, wife, children, brethren, and sisters, yea, in your own life also, you cannot be his disciple. It says to take up your cross. If we go back to Matthew chapter 10, we read the next verse, 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Take up your cross. What did Jesus do when he took up his cross? He carried his cross up a hill and was hung on it and died. And we're told to take up our cross and follow him. And I think the implication is very... How do I want to say it? It's implied to us that we are to die. And Paul says it in other places. He says, I die daily. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So now if I go to Luke chapter 9. Read verses 23 and 24. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Take up your cross and die. The cost of salvation. The price of salvation. Lose your life. Back in Matthew 10, reading the next verse yet. Verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And in Mark 8, reading the verses 35 and 36. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lose your life. And in this one, we have the word soul in Mark 8:36. For what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And in verse 35, I'm not sure which one of these places, or maybe all of them, but my dad's always told me that the Greek word that's translated life, where it says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, is the same word that's in some places translated soul. And the soul is the seat of the affections and desires. We are simply to give up what we want, give up our dreams, give up our desires, what we think of as life, what we think of as fulfillment, what we think of just our life, everything. Give it up for the sake of Christ and the gospel. That, again, is the price of salvation. And it's not a cheap price. And there was a scripture reference that I wanted, and I guess I didn't write it down. So I don't know where it is. But you all remember the parable of the man who dealt with pearls. And when he found that one goodly pearl, he sold everything he had and bought that pearl. And that's likened to salvation. That's likened to the Christian life. A man is seeking for answers to life. And when he finds the gospel, this is the goodly pearl. And he sells everything and buys that one pearl. And that's the cost of salvation. The parable tells us that he sold everything. And the parable is written that way on purpose. The parable does not say he sold $10,000 worth of goods. He sold everything. It doesn't matter how much you have. Because as a Christian, that's the thing. It doesn't matter how much you have. You have to sell all of it. It all has to be sold. No matter how much or how little you have, it has to all be sold to buy the goodly pearl, which is Christ and the gospel. We have follow the narrow path. Matthew chapter 7, 14. Again, a very common verse. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you don't follow Christ, you aren't his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a narrow path that we must walk to be Christians. And if we aren't walking the narrow path, we aren't Christians. If there's no works, it proves that there's no faith. And if there's no faith, it proves that there's no salvation. I want to go again to I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading one verse, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. This is Paul's example of what we are to be in the Christian life, to die daily. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this one. And I'm going to compare the death that Christianity, that Christ preaches, to suicide. But I'm going to compare it as opposites. Because I think many people misunderstand suicide. Suicide is not about hating yourself, as some people seem to think. Suicide is the apex of self-love. Suicide is about loving yourself. It is a statement that I am so important that I would rather kill myself than be unhappy. I deserve more than what I have, and I will murder if I cannot get it. There is no statement of self-love that is grosser and more complete and disgusting than suicide. It is the absolute opposite of taking up the cross. No man who had mortified the flesh ever needed to commit suicide. If you mortify the flesh according to the biblical way, there is no more need to kill it in the suicidal way. Mortifying the flesh is so distasteful to some people that they would rather kill themselves than do it. To some people, dying to self is more dreaded and scary than death. That is the price of salvation. Because to be a Christian, we have to do that. I don't know if I'm getting this point across very clear, but I'm comparing the two as absolute opposites. There is nothing more opposite than the Christian death of the cross as suicide. That is the price of salvation. And it's a high price. Giving up yourself, dying to self, following Christ, losing your life, taking up your cross, forsaking your father and your mother. Dan preached a sermon a while back on forsaking farm and family. I remember that sermon. It was a good sermon. Each one of these is a high cost. You add them all together, and the cost is extravagant until compared to the other cost. You know, my dad uses an illustration. He says, If I told you the price of salvation, if I tell you the price of something is worth 47 billion tiddlywinks, that sounds like a big number. But when I tell you that 47 billion tiddlywinks is worth 3 grains of sand, all of a sudden you realize that it's not a big number. And salvation has a high cost until we compare it to Christ. And we see what he is worth. We see what eternal salvation is worth. Paul speaks of an eternal weight of glory. That the price that we have to pay in this life just becomes so small and irrelevant. It becomes nothing when we compare it to eternity. But still, as human beings on this earth, this price is high. There is a price to salvation. Yet salvation is free. And that brings me to my third point. How these both can be. And I'm just going to use several different things that I've seen in life that are free, yet have a cost, to illustrate how salvation also can be free and yet have a cost. Because you don't have to add the hard sayings to the gospel. The person who lives out those hard sayings, or I should say, you don't have to add the hard sayings to your faith. You don't have the faith plus the hard sayings. Those hard sayings, somebody who lives that lifestyle, that is proof that they have real faith. So, you have to forgive me for this example. One of the guys I worked with a couple years back once got a loaf of free French bread that was outdated. Sliced it the long way and filled it with goods out of the free box. Made himself a foot-long sub with free tomatoes and free peppers and free lettuce and free avocados, and just had this big free sandwich and ate the whole thing. And end up getting sick and threw the whole thing back up. That's why I said you have to forgive me for this one. So what was the price of a free sandwich? A big tummy ache. So free things have a price many a times. If a neighbor gives you a free cat, you're still going to have to feed it. And there's going to be certain people that are allergic to cats that won't come over to your house. This is a good one. Because salvation is free. We're told to forsake our father and mother. Salvation is free. But if you accept this free gift in, your father and mother might not come over to your house anymore. In the same way that if you accept a free cat, some of your friends might not come over. That is the price of a free cat, and that is the price of free salvation. What is the price of free salvation? It changes your life. And if you didn't let it, you didn't get it. When I was just recently in Africa, I was talking to some people, and they over there, a man has to buy his wife for what they call a lobolo of 10 cows. It's the standard price for a wife. Over here, they're free, right? Well, I guess what I'm going to say is any man that expects his wife to be free isn't going to be a very good husband. It's going to cost money. It's free. You can't. In America, we don't buy wives. But that doesn't mean they won't cost you anything. They're going to cost time and all kinds of things. Any man who thinks a wife won't cost anything won't be a good husband. And a man who thinks who Christ won't cost him anything won't be a good Christian. It's just that simple. Dan sent me an email a little while ago about a free organ. I think it was in Appleton, was it? Okay, I think the free organ, somebody in Appleton, I'm pretty sure, was giving away a free organ. Free organ. You guys would be ashamed of me if I called that man up and told him that since it was free, he had to deliver it. And I am ashamed of the Christian who thinks that because salvation is free, therefore there is nothing that he has to do. The organ is free, but I still have to leave my home, drive to Appleton, and go and get it. Salvation is free, but you still have to forsake your father and mother and get it. Forsaking your father and mother won't save you, but you aren't going to get saved without forsaking your father and mother. Leaving home isn't going to get me an organ, but I wouldn't get that organ Appleton unless I left home. And when I got there, it wouldn't load itself on my truck. I'd have to pick it up and put it on my truck. And we are told to take up our cross. Picking up an organ, putting it on my truck, and taking it home does not mean it's mine, unless it was actually given to me. Taking up your cross, denying yourself, and living as a hermit is not going to save you. But you aren't going to get saved without denying yourself. Lose your life. Driving to Appleton and back would take me a number of hours. I'm going to have to lose several hours of time. Wasting 3 hours of time is not going to get me an organ. But I would not have gotten that organ unless I was willing to spend several hours of time to do it. Giving up your life is not going to save you, but you are not going to get saved without giving up your life. Nor would I have gotten to Appleton without following the roads that get there to get the organ. But driving those roads wouldn't get me an organ. We are told to follow the narrow path. We are told to follow Christ. Endeavoring to do these things alone will not save you. But you aren't going to get saved without following the narrow path. And you aren't going to get saved without following Christ. So I hope I've explained very clearly that salvation is free, salvation has a cost, and these two do not contradict in the least. They are completely parallel without a single contradiction. And if the two still contradict in your mind, think about it. You misunderstand either the cost or the free. When you have a proper understanding of those two, they no longer contradict. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we just thank you so much for our Savior. Thank you for what He's done for us. And we thank you for free salvation. And I pray that each person here would grasp these concepts deep in our heart, and we would truly rest in Christ and His work alone for our salvation. And yet, Father, I pray that the love of Christ would truly constrain us and that we would live this lifestyle that we are told to live. And live it because we want to, Amen. And let's dismiss.